11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Championship version of the League podcast. My name is Lee Phelps. Pete Farris is on the line, ready to look at seven Championship matches this weekend. You well, Pete?
Hello. Yes, fine. Thank you. Good week last week, so I'm hoping for the same this.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. We also do a League One and League Two podcast. Check that out on the72.co.uk, who also give us Sam Ashu to look through them as well. So make sure you check those two podcasts out. But without further ado, let's crack on with the Championship action, shall we? There's a Friday night TV game which sees Blackpool take on Cardiff City. Blackpool rock bottom after Fulham's slight upturn in form. Blackpool 3 points from their 10 fixtures so far. All have been draws. In fact, they went to Middlesbrough and got a draw on Tuesday night. Before that, they lost at home to Norwich. Before that, they drew with Brighton away. Before that, they lost at home to Watford. And before that, they drew with Wolves. Cardiff, well, they're in 14th position now. Just a one defeat in the last four, and that was in the League Cup. So the Championship form doesn't look too bad all of a sudden, Pete, and a new manager as well, of course. Blackpool, first of all, now obviously they're everyone's idea of the whipping boys. They're 12-5 to win this. Cardiff are odds against it 6-5, 11-5 the draw. We've said a few times Blackpool aren't getting hammered by many teams. Obviously Norwich put three past them. They seem to do better away from home as well than they do at home, don't they?
Yeah, played very well against Middlesbrough in the week as well. 1-0 down through that Daniel Ayala goal, and managed to get back into it and stay in it. I mean, it was a poor performance more than it was a brilliant performance from Blackpool. Borough weren't quite at the races, and Aitor Karanka was absolutely furious afterwards. But yeah, you're right, they don't get battered. I mean, if you look at the team to win and both teams to score, for example, that's not exactly been flying in. Landed against Norwich, like you said, but did, I suppose, land against Millwall, against Brentford, against Blackburn. So it has been happening. They're not getting battered, you're absolutely right. They've only conceded more than two goals on that one occasion you've already mentioned. But the injuries are mounting up for them at the moment. Cubiero's injured, Clark, Mendy, Grant, McKenzie. And it is difficult, again, to go with them. Now, especially, you know, they've been going off a sort of 6-1 at times, haven't they, this season?
Yeah.
So at the price they're at tonight, as it is recording it, of course, 12-5, it isn't attractive. It isn't attractive. Cardiff, I think Russell Slade is still not 100% the Cardiff manager. I think they're still waiting to tick off the admin and deal with any kind of compensatory issues with Leighton Orient at the moment. So you've still got your two caretakers in charge.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it just felt to me like Cardiff are a bit unbackable. You know, had a great win over Sheffield Wednesday, have drawn four of their five away from home, and this is kind of where I've gone. They've scored in four of their five away games so far this season. Blackpool have scored in three of their five at home, plus they're on the telly, and I just think it might be a little bit of an extra boost to them, certainly in terms of scoring a goal. It's only really a quick review of this one, Lee, because obviously people might not have time to get the bets on this evening while they listen to this before they can actually get in from work or whatever else there is that they've been doing today. None of my business. I just think both teams to score at 19-20 is a really good way in with those stats.
If you'd like to tell Pete what you are doing on a Friday afternoon stroke evening, then it's @Pete_Farris. He'll be all ears for that information. Let's go to Saturday then, shall we? And there's a TV game at 12:15, and it's a Yorkshire derby as well. 12:15 start at Elland Road, where Sheffield Wednesday are the visitors. Sheffield Wednesday in ninth, 16 points from their 10 games so far. The worst thing that could have happened to Wednesday was going to Man City and conceding seven, because it seems to have just hit them for six a little bit. The socks were pulled down, and they've been struggling to get them back up again. As for Leeds, the new manager's come in, and speaking to our in-play radio colleague Tom Kerwin, Pete, it's not like he's come in and there's a honeymoon period. If this is the honeymoon for the new manager, I don't want to know what's going to happen in this marriage.
Well, yeah, lost the opening game of this for him anyway against Brentford. That, of course, we had a half-time draw against Brentford, didn't we? And it was a 45th minute goal that...
Sickener.
Yeah, it was very, very annoying. But still, the point remains, they weren't that bad in that game. They drew 0-0 in the week against Reading, and Nigel Adkins was very complimentary of them after. One thing I didn't realise, they've kept 4 clean sheets at home this season. I didn't know that. Didn't concede against Borough, of course. We're lucky to, I suppose, but didn't. Conceded twice against Brighton and lost, but didn't concede against Bolton. Didn't concede against Huddersfield. Didn't concede against Reading. Now, I know that at the time, Huddersfield had a bit of a problem. Bolton still have a problem. And they got a draw against an inconsistent Reading side. But that's still incredibly admirable. You know, only one game this season at home where they've not kept a clean sheet. Amazing. Mm. And yeah, Wednesday have won 3 from 5, but you're absolutely right, Lee. That did seem to take a little bit of the wind out of them, didn't it? They beat Reading, and then they were absolutely obliterated by Man City. Cardiff beat them. And they, of course, drew against Ipswich Town in the week. And Johnny Williams came on as a sub, bagged. And of course, I mean, he's an incredible player, Johnny Williams. So where do you play this? Well, I think you can... I mean, I'm not a big head-to-head player, apart from when it comes to these derby games, or these X-Factor games, as I like to call them. And this is very much one of them. And if you look, barring the last time these two teams met, where Sheffield Wednesday put 6 past Leeds, it's always very, very tight. Teams don't win by more than a goal. We've had quite a lot of one-alls recently. Leeds have been defending very well. Stuart Gray has suggested he wants to focus a little bit on the back line and shoring that up. Yes, they've been criticised for not being the most frightening in front of goal, Sheffield Wednesday. Stevie May will still turn out to be a cracking buy long-term, in my opinion. So for me, the way of looking at this was one. You could play both teams to score and a draw. If you want the two match results, both teams to score a draw is 16-5. You could play the one all that has landed on 3 occasions in the last 6 between these two sides at 6-1. And you can, of course, look at the drawn under 2.5 if you wanted. But the point remains that I still think this is a game that's going to be so, so tight that I'm going back on that at half-time draw. We spoke about it pre-match, of course, ahead of the Brentford game. It almost landed, and it didn't quite get there. It was seconds away. But ultimately, I think first half draw is a very, very good way to play this.
19-20, the first half draw. And the draw under 2.5 goals is 3-1. So, we get the general gist of that, though. It's going to be a tight one.
I got distracted by the postman earlier on.
That's fine.
I mean, he came to the door. I wasn't just watching
him. He is a
him.
Hunk, though, isn't he? Oh. I mean, that outfit he wears, and he always wears shorts all year round.
He came to the door, Lee. I wasn't just like looking at him out the front window.
Yeah,
like a dog in the front. Yeah.
I can imagine you sat there singing as he walks away.
It's my tongue out.
I wasn't going to say that. That song, I don't know who sings it. Hey there, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. That one. Anyway, let's carry on, shall we? It seems like the best thing to do at this moment. Charlton versus Birmingham. Charlton 5-4. The price for Birmingham is 12-5, and the draw is 21-10. This is a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Charlton are currently in a playoff position. I know it's largely irrelevant at this stage of the season, but sixth position with 18 points from their 10 games so far. Birmingham are right down the other end of the table, 20th position with 10 points from their 10 games so far. Charlton, just not really getting beat, Pete, really. They're drawing a lot of games. They beat Norwich away from home, beat Watford at home. And between that, they drew with Wolves, with Rotherham, and with Middlesbrough. Birmingham have just got their first win for a little while as well, haven't they? In fact, first win since the start of the season, when they went away and won 3-1 at Millwall. But the home form has been poor, really, hasn't it? 2 successive defeats to Wednesday and Fulham at home. And you know, just poor. No win since that opener against the Brighton.
Yeah, but Birmingham away from home, you still can't get involved in, I don't think.
No.
You know, 5 games, 2 losses, 2 draws, and that win you mentioned a moment ago against Millwall. Let's just take a moment here, because midweek, Charlton was 7-1. Now, if there's a team, if Blackpool are 7-1 away in Norwich, you say, probably too big, but I'm not going to back it. But Charlton were unbeaten, are still unbeaten. And they were 7-1.
Ludicrous.
In the week. They were 2-1 double chance, which is insane when you think about it. Went on to win 1-0, and Bob Peters came out after and said that local press had written saying, oh dear, probably time that Charlton finally gets savaged by this Norwich side. Did they, hell? Absolutely superb performance, tight, and they ground them down, and they got that 1-0 win. 5-4 here is a wonderful bit of value. Now, I appreciate that this run's got to come to an end at some point. I appreciate they've drawn the last two home games. But they've drawn the last two home games against good sides. Middlesbrough, who are a bit wild, but are a good side. And Wolves, of course, you know, who have had a very good start to the season and are just one place below them in the league, same amount of points. Birmingham aren't as good as either of those sides. Now, that win over Millwall was massive. But Millwall haven't looked particularly convincing either recently. So there's a couple of what I thought were really good ways to play this. First and foremost, Charlton on the outrights, it's got to be played. 5-4, in my opinion, is absolutely superb. I think looking towards someone like Boyance, Yonny Boyance, any time at 14-5, scored in two of the last five Charlton home games, is a penalty taker as well. Those were the way his goals came. And I think penalties are sometimes a bit of a worry. I think Birmingham's back line is, you know, people like Grounds and Edgar, good defenders, but I think there's the occasion for quite a few of those names to make that silly challenge at the wrong time. I know that can probably be said for any defender, but I just look at Birmingham and I'm still not convinced. And the other way to play this is a handicap tie, i.e. Charlton to win this game by a goal. 14-5, Charlton -1, Birmingham +1. If you're getting involved in play, you could, of course, just play your winning margin live markets. But look at Charlton at home. Two draws. They beat Watford by a goal. They beat Derby County by a goal. They beat Wigan by a goal. If they're winning games at home, they're winning games by a goal. Now, I appreciate that away from home, Birmingham have lost two. Both the -1 for their opponents would have landed. But I think Charlton right now look very strong. Bob Peters has got them into a really good bounce, a really good flow, a really good momentum. And 5-4 on the outright is very, very good indeed.
Yeah, nice. Let's move on to one of the teams who are struggling for their lives, really. Bolton versus Bournemouth. 23-10 Bolton. 23-10 the draw and 6-5 the price for Bournemouth. Bolton beaten 4-0 by Fulham in the week, and I was listening to him play radio and it didn't sound particularly clever. They lost 2-0 to Derby the game before that, of course, were beaten by Chelsea in the Cup. Only 2-1 though, lost to Wolves. So it's four straight defeats in all competitions now, Pete, for Bolton. And the manager's he's never been the most upbeat during his time at Bolton. He's finding it very hard to remain positive. Now, of course, second bottom, 5 points from 10 games, worst goal difference in the division. And they come up against a Bournemouth side who are, you know, mid-table, not doing too much, but will happily take the points away from home if they're presented to them, won't they?
And, you know, you may well have heard some beeps on my phone there.
No, I didn't, but go on.
Well, my phone was beeping there momentarily late because Dougie Freeman, as we're recording this podcast, has just been fired.
Oh, right, okay.
In fact, he hasn't been fired. Let me immediately
retract that.
He's left the club by mutual consent.
Fair enough.
No surprise. So literally, that's what the beeping of my phone was.
Was that Dougie himself texting you? Or?
It wasn't, sadly. No. He doesn't want my phone number anymore. But, yeah.
After the postman incident.
After the postman incident, me and him, we really fell out over a milkman.
But at least he's got the sack this time.
He hasn't got the sack. Let's just again confirm that he's left the club by mutual consent.
But for the poetic license of that joke, can we say he's been sacked? Postman? Sack?
No. I'm still not quite sure on the defamation ways of doing that.
Factually, it's incorrect. I'll state that now. It was a joke.
But listen, Dougie. Well, that's amazing. I might as well have not bothered prepping this game because that's just thrown it all out of the water. There was going to be, of course, a demonstration against Dougie Freeman and Phil Gartside by fans at the weekend. Yeah, I'm just seeing on my Twitter now. The club can confirm that Dougie Freeman has today left the club by mutual consent.
He's a freed man.
This is like breaking news, but by the time people listen to it, it'll be old news.
I know.
So there you go. Well, that's just thrown the entire game into a very difficult into a very difficult area because I was...
Does it change that much, though, Pete? The player... He was saying the week, you know, one of our other colleagues, Mark Wilson, who covers Bolton week in, week out, he was relaying the press conference on Twitter. And what Dougie Freeman was saying was that the players are just not good enough. Now, do those players suddenly raise their game now he's gone? Was he the problem? Or are the players the problem? Does it change that much, I guess?
I think the situation was the problem. I mean, what he did 2 years ago when he went in there was incredible, wasn't it? They were inches away from getting a playoff place. He thought he was going to get more money than he got. And he didn't, and wasn't able to spend it, really, because it wasn't there. He's just not been able to improve the squad in the way that he would have liked, and eventually something had to tell. But if you look at Bolton recently, I know three games without a goal against Wolves, Derby and Fulham, but the Fulham result was unforgivable, no question. But Wolves, fair enough, a narrow loss against them, and Derby County aren't a bad side. Bournemouth's away form, just don't forget the one win this season. At home, they're brilliant, Bournemouth. But away, I do have questions about them because it's quite a long way to go wherever you're going. They won at Huddersfield, lost to Blackburn, lost to Derby, and got a good draw at Norwich and a draw with Watford. So it's intriguing, this. I think the way I was going to look, well, certainly the way I was going to look at this, was that actually the draw at 23-10 was very good. You sometimes see with these planned protests, don't you? Against Pardew the other day, for example, before the Stoke game, the protest before that, they did all right. And you think, well, 23-10 for the draw was a good price, but now I'd rather go on the draw no bet, because I think the feeling around the ground might be a little bit better at the Reebok. 6-4, the draw no bet, Bolton. The players, I completely agree, are long-term not good enough. I mean, there's some great players. I mean, Owen Garvin's a great player. Big, big fan of Owen Garvin. You know, Meadow is a very decent player. I've seen him a fair few times. David Wheater, you know, Matt Mills, Tim Ream. There is some quality in there, but you just don't really worry about them in an attacking sense. And I think just the situation got Bolton and got Dougie Friedman down. And I think 6-4 draw, no bet, might be the relief that Bolton need.
Let's move on to Blackburn's game, shall we? Blackburn are playing Huddersfield. 19-20 Rovers, 23-10 the draw, and 3-1 Huddersfield. Lots of goals in these two teams' games. 90% of Blackburn's home games have featured over 2.5 goals, and 100% of Huddersfield's away games have featured over 2.5 goals so far this season. Do you see something similar there, Pete?
I think Huddersfield are a big price, you know. In terms of goals, yes. I really do see something high on goals. I mean, if you want to play the over 2.5, you're welcome to it. I mean, the traders have got there before you. But 8-13 is still, I think, a backable bet. But I'd be playing Huddersfield win and over 2.5 goals at 4-1.
Right.
I'd be playing, actually, Huddersfield to win and both teams to score at 5-1, which is, you know, actually the better bet, isn't it? Because I know that that gives you 3-0 or 4-0, the former of those bets. But still, I don't see Blackburn not registering a goal here. I mean, you look at the way they've been playing, the likes of Ben Marshall, for example, scoring goals. Rudy Gusted's had a great season. But at home, you know, drew with Cardiff, drew with Watford, lost 3-2 to Derby, 3-2 winners over Bournemouth, 3-2 winners over Wigan. There's going to be goals. But there's a little bit of a change at Huddersfield. There's a real change at Huddersfield at the moment. Naki Wells obviously got that brace against Millwall that helped them win 2-1. And then they went away to Wolves and blew Wolves off the face. They were superb in that game, Huddersfield. They were absolutely superb in that game. And what also has impressed me is the way that he's gone about his signings here. You know, he hasn't obviously had a huge amount of time or money or even the ability to be able to grind it in, but Chris Powell got Grant Holt. Now, in a championship, for that kind of side, with the way that Chris Powell plays his football, that is an amazing signing. Of course, he's yet to register, but he's 21-10 any time at the weekend.
Mm.
But I really do think that Huddersfield have just found themselves just on the upward curve here a little bit. You know, if you actually look at the last four Blackburn games, they lost to Derby, which is all right. Fair enough. But they narrowly beat Fulham, and it was a narrow 1-0 victory. And it was against a 10-man Fulham, let us not forget as well. They drew with Watford. They've just been to Rotherham, who aren't having the best of times, and have lost 2-0. And yet Huddersfield's confidence is high, back-to-back wins, games in which they've scored 5 goals in total. I thought Huddersfield were a big price this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see why. Yeah. Next up, let's have a look at the Wigan game, shall we? It's a cracker, this one. Wolves are the hosts for Wigan. 11-10 Wolves, 11-5 the draw, and 13-5 for the Wiganers. Wolverhampton came down to earth with a bit of a bump against the team that Pete's just been talking about, Huddersfield, in the week, losing 3-1 at home. They had been going along quite nicely, although drawing a few games, I suppose. They lost that. They lost the game against Rotherham and had been unbeaten until Huddersfield came to town. So maybe it's just Yorkshire teams they don't like. Wigan. We thought a little while ago, Pete, that maybe things were turning round when they had those back-to-back wins at the end of August. And they never really kicked on, did they? They went to Blackburn, lost 3-1, drew with Huddersfield, lost to Ipswich, lost at Bournemouth. And then they've just drawn with Nottingham Forest in the week, which I suppose maybe just gives them a little bit more confidence. Will Wolves bounce back, or is it another socks-up syndrome one?
Well, you know, they've only won one of the last 5 games, Wolves. And, you know, yeah, at home they've been superb. They've beaten Norwich, you know, Cardiff, Blackburn, Bolton, and then that loss to Huddersfield that we mentioned a moment ago. But I think the way you've got to play this is Wolves at 11-10. there is not really a lot for Uwe Rosner to choose from. Emerson Boyce was, well, he went off after, what, 45, 46 minutes in the week, left on crutches. Obviously, Rob Kiernan out against Forest and will probably miss out this weekend. And I think he's looking a little bit light at the back. I mean, for Wolves, I don't think there's going to be any Lee Evans. Sam Ricketts came in, didn't look fully fit, but he's probably getting there. But generally speaking, I think Wigan, who are yet to win on the road, of course, this season, playing a side who will be wanting to bounce back. Kenny Jackett's very, very good at arresting this kind of run early. I mean, obviously in his time away from home with Millwall, he couldn't turn things around, but he's got a better setup at Wolves, with all due respect to Millwall, and he's certainly doing a better job, ultimately speaking, with Wolves at the moment. Not that he did a bad job, in my opinion, with Millwall. But when you look at it, you've got a side who, yes, did lose, but at home tend to be superb, against a side who was struggling defensively in terms of just personnel, a side who lost three of the last five games, a side who away from home have failed to score in three of the five games in which they've played, scoring at Blackburn and Charlton, but losing four of those five. And you do have to, in the end, go with Wolves on the outright for me at 11-10.
Next up, let's have a look at Nottingham Forest, shall we? This is against Ipswich, 21-20 Forest, 9-4 the draw, and Ipswich are 11-4. Nottingham Forest second, and Ipswich fifth, so one of the games of the weekend, this one. Ipswich are in great form, by the way. Last lost on the 23rd of August when they were beaten by their rivals Norwich. Since then, they have drawn with Derby, had four wins on the spin in the Championship, and then drew with Sheffield Wednesday last time out. What's happened to Forest, do you think, Pete? I mean, they were going along brilliantly, weren't they? And then having beaten Fulham 5-3, they just seem to have run out of goals, don't they?
Yeah. Three games.
See that so often, don't you? You have one game that's full of goals, and then you get this like this dearth of goals following it. It's weird.
Yeah, it's an odd one, because I don't think Stuart Pearce knows what's going on. You know, it's a very, very odd one indeed. I think the injury to Chris Cohen a few weeks back in the Derby game has hit them a little bit, and I think he's a superb player, and obviously, I think he is quite influential, and I might be wrong, but certainly in my opinion, he is still one of their better players. They may get Andy Reid back. He obviously also can help things tick, but we're not 100% sure on him, and he will have Matty Fryer back in contention as well. So there are some good positive pieces of movement for Nottingham Forest in terms of players. I think Jonathan Williams has got to start the game. Now, I love him, and Ipswich came in, of course, before that game midweek. They'd won four games on the bounce. They'd scored goal after goal after goal after goal, just getting braces, getting two goals every time. It was, of course, my nap last weekend. But this is such an amazing... I mean, I'll put it this way. It's a difficult game that if it wasn't the Sunday 3 o'clock kickoff, I wouldn't have covered it. I'll put it that way, because I just think it's a very difficult one. But I think Ipswich are too big a price. I think it comes down to that. I mean, plus a goal for Ipswich in the game is 7-10. You know, drawn up at Ipswich is 13-8. Both good bets when you consider that, yeah, Forest haven't been scoring, not been conceding either, of course. Three games back-to-back, 0-0. But they've been against Millwall, Brighton, Wigan. And I think Ipswich have got a bit more about them going forward than those three teams. Certainly more than Wigan and Millwall at the moment. So I've actually gone here for a very high-scoring draw. I mean, I'd be looking at Bats result and both teams to score a draw at 16-5, something like a 2-2 at 16-1. I think if a team's going to win it, it's going to be Ipswich, actually. But at the same time, I want that draw in my favour. So if you want a big price, you could play your 2-2 at 16. You could just play your draw no bet, which if it is a draw, you get your cash back. If it's a draw on the plus a goal, you get your profit. And, of course, if Ipswich win, you know, delete and apply where applicable. But I just think they're playing very good football, which I don't think they can be ignored. A 9-2 anytime for Jonathan Williams, who scored in the week, is a very, very good player indeed. One of my favourite in this league, in fact. I think 9-2 is a cracking anytime price for him.
It's nap time. Last week, Pete landed with Ipswich over 1.5 goals.
Yeah.
What price was that, Pete?
21-20, I think.
Yeah, I think that was right. Yeah, that's why I got written down. I just double checking, see if you remembered. Pete moves up to £38.42. Well done, Pete. Very
Thank
good.
You.
Sam lost his. He was on Ben Davis anytime. Didn't score, so he goes down to £16 plus. I had Barnsley versus Swindon, both teams to score. Barnsley. Dear me, lost it anyway. So I'm on back down to minus £40.50. So just as I thought I was getting back into a bit of confidence, chinned on a 7-10 shot. It's scandalous, really. I apologise to everyone.
Deserved it, putting up a 7-10.
Yeah, but... fair enough. Pete, what are you going for this week?
I think I have to go towards Charlton.
Right. Okay.
Still unbeaten, still playing very good football, defying their critics, looking so lethal, I think, as well, and ruthless. That's the thing. They're not going to town on teams like we talked about. The plus, they buy a goal, and as good as that 5-4 for Charlton is, I actually am going to stretch here, and I'm going to play Charlton by a goal. Wow. It's a handicap tie. Charlton -1, Birmingham +1 at 14-5. It's how Charlton do games and wins at home this season.
Okay. Looking at the stats for both teams to score in over 2.5, there's one game that stands on top of all others in the English Football League this weekend, and it's obviously Blackburn versus Huddersfield, but 8-15 both teams to score, 8-13 over 2.5. Couldn't touch those. So I've gone for a similar kind of tack to what you were talking about in the preview, Pete. Huddersfield to score goals, basically.
Yeah.
Over 1.5 Huddersfield goals in this game is priced up at 17-10. I like that. That's if you go to the actual match, click on goals and then scroll down, you'll see all the just below all the race 2-2 and all that, you'll see Blackburn and then Huddersfield over 1.5, 17-10. You know, with the inclusion of Grant Holt, of course, and Naki Wells, the great, you know, great, should be goals in this game. Scored 3 at Wolves, scored 2 at Watford, scored 2 at Reading, didn't score any at Leeds, but did have 11 shots on goal in that match, and were just a bit goal shy. So I'm going with that one. Blackburn have conceded 2 against Watford at home, 3 against Derby at home, 2 against Bournemouth at home as well. So happy to go with that one. And just have a look at the stats on the shots per game. Huddersfield are, I think, the 5th in the table on that that score, that shots at I mean, 4, and in the target shots on target as well. They're pretty high on the table, so pretty happy with that. 17-10.
It's another reason why I think Huddersfield are a good price, because if you're Blackburn and you are conceding, I mean, they've been scoring a lot at home, of course, but they've been conceding consistently throughout, and if they have a bad day in front of goal, you know, they might well just be outscored.
Yeah,
which is why
3-1 is great. I was tempted to go for it.
I did genuinely think and consider playing Huddersfield as my nap.
Yeah, me too.
I really did, but I didn't want to quite risk it as the best bet.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same as me, Pete. I was looking at it thinking it looked big after what they did to Wolves, but just couldn't quite commit. So I'll just go with the two or more goals for Huddersfield at 17-10. Thanks, Pete.
Cheers, man. Thank you very much. Oh, the postman.
Enjoy. Sam Ashew will have a nap as well in either League 1 or League 2. I'll leave that hanging there. So check out the League 1 and League 2 versions of the League podcast on the72.co.uk. You can also get this podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts, on audioboom.com, and you can subscribe via iTunes, and you'll also get the rest of William Hill's podcast delivered to your phone, your tablet or your PC as well. Thanks for listening, and if you're having a bet on any of the Championship matches this weekend, best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.